Praying today all had sort of a theme. They were all about things like awe and God, and you know, I appreciate Maureen for picking all those out and doing those for us. So I want to start with a psalm, that one that I feel like this person is trying to communicate their awe of God. So let's turn to Psalm 147, and we're just going to read the first 11 verses. And I'm going to actually read it in the Holman Christian Standard, we'll go there. We'll do that. Psalm 147, starting in verse 1, says, "Hallelujah! How good is it to sing to our God, for praise is pleasant and lovely. The Lord rebuilds Jerusalem. He gathers Israel's exiled people. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the numbers of the stars. He gives names to all of them. Our Lord is great, vast in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord helps the afflicted, but brings the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Play the lyre to our God, who covers the sky with clouds, prepares rain for the earth, and causes grass to grow on the hills. He provides the animals with their food, and the young ravens what they cry for. He is not impressed by the strength of a horse. He does not value the power of a man. The Lord values those who fear him, those who put their hope in his faithful love." You know, this person just sort of lists some of the reasons why they're in awe of God. And so, okay, so first let's say, what is awe? You know, how would you define that? And I looked it up in the dictionary. Thank you, Google. Says, a feeling of reverential respect mixed with fear and wonder. So, reverential respect. I mean, respect, we know what that is. You know, you respect the law, you respect people in authority, you know, you respect the president, that kind of thing. But what's reverential respect? You know, I think of, you know, if I gave you, like, you know, please hold this Monet for me for 10 minutes, you know, you'd be like, very careful, or this Van Gogh, or the, you know, something, some great artwork. That's a little closer. But what if I said, here is the actual Ark of the Covenant. Could you take care of it for a little while for me? I mean, that's a whole nother ball game, right? I mean, that's a whole nother level. If you're smart, you're going to go crack the Bible open real quick and read about, okay, well, how am I supposed to handle this thing and what I'm supposed to do? You know? I mean, because we all remember the story of Uzzah, right? Things tipping over and he puts his hand up, bam, God kills him. Because in his mind, it was just a box that was falling. And he's going to brace it. Oh, let me just brace that up. He didn't have that reverential respect for the ark. And God had given very clear instructions on how to move it, and they weren't following those. You know? That's the kind of awe, that's the kind of reverential respect that they're talking about here, that I think we need to think about in how we look at God. Fear. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'd have some fear if someone gave me the ark to take care of it. You know? Do we fear the God that, you know, because the God of the Old Testament and the New Testament is the same God, right? Yes. Old Testament, he did some pretty wild things, you know. Do you think that the Israelites, when that last plague before they left Egypt, had a little fear of God when he struck down the firstborn of everybody in Egypt? I think I would, you know. Wonder. Do we have wonder? Psalm 19, verse 1 through 4 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims the works of his hand. Day after day they pour out speech. Night after night they communicate knowledge. There is no speech, there are no words, their voices is not heard. Their message has gone out to all the earth, and the words to the end of the world." So, you know, have you ever heard that they refer to that nature is God's revealed word versus, now I'm blowing it. I'm drawing a blank on the reference. Basically, the Word is the Word. You know, they got the Bible, and that gives us the clear instructions. But even looking at nature, we can see that there is a God. It has something to tell us about who God is, too. You know? And so what I did is I got some... These are actually some notes from JP did a lesson for staff this last week. And I got some of the facts and stuff that he did in his. And I wanted to share some of these. And if you want to see a really good YouTube video, go to YouTube and look up Francis Chan Universe. And that's another one. But so here's some facts. About 500,000 people a day are either born or die. So 500,000 people. In that same time period, 275 million stars are either born or die in that same 24-hour period. And that's in just in the universe that we can see, because obviously they can't see all the way to the end. That's just the observable universe. If you flew in a regular jet airplane, like, you know, we've all flown in airplanes, if you got in a commercial jet, which travels at about 550 miles an hour, I think, it would take you, and you didn't have to stop for gas, it would take you less than 2 days to fly around the entire Earth. Okay? If you took that same jet and flew to the sun, it would take you 19 years to get there at 550 miles an hour. Have you ever been out in the middle of nowhere where it's like there's no city lights around, and you look up at the night sky and you can see just a ton of stars? Like, you can even see sort of the Milky Way there, you know, where it's just sort of a lighter part of the sky. If you were able to count all the stars you could see on a night like that, you'd probably come up with about 2,500 is what they say is about what you can see with the naked eye on a clear night away from city lights. There are 80 million times more stars in the Milky Way alone. There are about 7.2 billion people on the Earth. It means that for every person on this planet, there are 28 stars in our galaxy. 28 stars per. Now, that's stars, that's not planets. That's just the star. There are more than a billion cars on the planet. For every car on the planet, there are 200 galaxies in the observable universe. So 200 billion galaxies, just in what they can see through a telescope. We've only ever experienced Earth, right? It's a livable planet. They estimate 40 billion Earth-sized planets out there that could sustain human life. Now, why do I throw these facts? It's like, okay, yeah, but how does that relate to being in awe of God? He did all this knowing that we would never see some of it. We're never going to see it. And yet, he did it because he can, you know? He made this an amazing universe, this huge, huge place that we will never even get to see it all. That's some power. And yet, Matthew 10:30 says, and even the very hairs of your head are numbered. God knows how many hairs are on your head. He did all that, and yet he knows so much about you, he can even tell you how many hairs are on your head. I mean, this guy with all this power wants to know us. Romans 8, verses 3 and 4 say, when I observe your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moons and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you remember him? The son of man that you'd look after him? I mean, the guy who did all this cares about us. You know, he actually cares about you and me. A little blip on this little planet, on the edge of this little galaxy, and all this stuff that he created. To me, that's awe-inspiring. That is amazing. So what can we do to remain in awe of God? I don't know about you, I'm not always in awe of God. You know, it's not something that goes through my mind on a regular basis. Maybe it should. I think the way to do it is we need to develop a spiritual discipline of being in awe of God. You know, it's like we have spiritual discipline when we sit down and on a regular basis we read our Bibles and we pray. You know, we have spiritual discipline of coming to church and, you know, all the different things that we do because we know they please God. That's a spiritual discipline. This is maybe one that we need to add. We need to find a way to remain in awe of God. You know, maybe if you're musically inclined or talented in that way, write your own psalm. Maybe it's doing things like reviewing some facts like I did. It's just a Google search, you know, just to put it in perspective of where we fit in the universe. Just to help us realize that there is a God and we're not it. Right? I mean, because that's the way a lot of times we live our life, right? That I'm the center of the universe and what matters to me is important and what doesn't matter to me is not. I don't think we ever consciously think those words, but do we live that way sometimes? I think so. I think we lose track of where we fit in the grand scheme of things. I mean, do you take the time to realize that the God who created all this stuff in the universe, stuff that we will never see, who also knows the hairs in your head, he is listening to you when you pray. He's paying attention to you. And he's interested. Does that inspire awe? Maybe a little fear, a little wonder, hopefully a little reverential respect. So why is this good? I mean, we're supposed to worship God, right? How much better would your worship be if you were in awe of God? You know, how would you do things differently if you were in awe of God? When you have your quiet time, when you pray, when you sing songs. You know, what would you do different? If you want your relationship with God to be great, stand in awe of him. I mean, I like that song, Stand in Awe. His power and his glory. You know, how much easier would it be to get your quiet times in and do the things you know you're supposed to do if you're in awe of God? During our midweeks, we've been talking about repentance, right? Which is a salvation issue, right? And he mentioned it, the metanoia, that change of mind, the way we're thinking. I think this could be a metanoia for us. Could be a change in the way we think if we truly focus on being in awe of God. You know, repentance becomes a lot, you know, easier when your mindset changes, right? That's what we've been talking about. Is that if your mind is in the right spot, your actions will follow. If your mind was focused on how amazing, how awesome our God is, would it be really so hard to be a little friendlier to the people around you? Would it be so hard to invite somebody to come and join us as we worship this amazing, awesome God? If it really was that awe-inspiring in you, it wouldn't be difficult to invite people to join you. You know, and I'm looking at myself just as much as you, because I know for me personally, I let other things get in the way. I get distracted, you know, I don't share my faith as much as I would like to. And, you know, and for me, I know I'm not always in awe of God, and I need to be. And so that's part of the reason why when I heard that JP had done this lesson at staff, I thought, exactly. You know, one of the things I did want to talk about today before this came up was how encouraged I am by the group here. But I think part of why I'm encouraged by this group and inspired by this group is because this is not a group that was put together by a bunch of people saying, okay, let's get a group together and send them to Brevard. This was a group that was put together by God. Amen. Right? We all moved into the area for different reasons, for different things going on. God just worked it all out so that we are here today. And you know what? This is the best team I've ever... I mean, Kendall and I have been on some church plantings. And this group is light years ahead of them. It's because God put it together. You know, who can put together a better team than God? I don't want that job. You know, I don't want to try to compete with that. You know? And he did. I mean, you know, the amazing singers we have, the talent for speaking and we've been on teams where the social skills were a little lacking. They had great hearts and they did their best, but we got cool people here. We got the beautiful people too, you know. We got everything. We got everything that we need here to make this amazing. When we get our staff, when we become our own group, I mean, Brevard, it should be, I mean, and it will be, growing amazingly. Personally and in numbers. Because we have the people here to do it. Because God, the awesome God who created the entire universe, was thinking about, you know, I have people in Brevard I want reached. And so let me find the people that I know who are going to be there, who I want there. And this is what he put together. That's amazing. That's an awe-inspiring God. And so, whatever you struggle with, you'll find it much easier to repent of if you're in awe of God. So I think that's why we need to do it. I think that's why we need to take the extra effort to be in awe of God. I mean, because like Curtis said, we're not perfect. Because God didn't say, I'm going to put together a bunch of perfect people to be in Brevard. He said, no, I'm going to put the people there who are, you know, and he's probably got so many different layers of what he's thinking and all the different things. It's all going to work together because he's thinking, I know this brother can get help from this brother in this area. And I know this person can reach out to this person over here I know is just waiting for someone to invite them. I mean, all the different things, you know, and they're going to help each other. They're going to strengthen each other. You know, this brother is going to try this person's patience and it's going to help them to grow in their patience. You never know. You know what I'm saying? You know, every little thing, you know, it's like he said, God works all things to the good for those that love him. You know, he put us all here at this time to be there for Greg and Letty. You know, and for Lisa. He put us together to be there for him. That's a God who knows us and believes in us. And even likes us. Yeah. You know, he likes us. He loves us and he believes in us. And yet, who are we that God is mindful of us? Who are we that he should care? Because we still blow it. We still sin. Even with knowing all the things we know, we still get, you know, get angry when we shouldn't. We still lack patience sometimes. We're prideful. We gossip. You know, we all have our weaknesses. And this amazing God looks past all that because of his son and loves us and has brought us here to make things happen in Brevard. And so I'm excited. I'm in awe of God. I sometimes fear because I know He's a righteous God. But overall is a wonder and a respect for the God that we have. And so stand in awe of the God who is listening to you right now.